Hello, and welcome to the Logistics Management Podcast Series. My name is Jeff Berman. I'm Group News Editor for Logistics Management Magazine, as well as the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group. Today, it's great to welcome Ward Richmond to our podcast. Ward serves as Executive Vice President at Colliers International. He's based down in Dallas. Ward specializes in working with C-level executives and operational specialists to develop and execute corporate real estate strategies on both a local and global basis in an effort to maximize operational efficiencies and value. Ward's primary focus is representing dominant logistics companies in the acquisition and disposition of supply chain real estate. In other words, distribution centers, truck terminals, last mile hubs, manufacturing facilities, and also industrial land. With more than 15 years of experience, Ward has developed a very thorough understanding of supply chain real estate strategy through negotiating more than 500 transactions globally in 50 plus cities while generating millions in value for his customers. Ward's also been featured by multiple publications, including the Wall Street Journal, and has been a featured speaker at multiple real estate and logistics conferences around the globe. He's also currently on the steering committee for the Colliers International Logistics and Transportation Solutions Group, and is also an active member of the IWLA and the Texas Warehouse Association. And Ward also is a graduate of Brown University in Rhode Island. Hey, Ward, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. Good to be here.
Yeah,
thanks for including me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a long time coming, and I'm glad we're reconnecting here, and we get a chance to talk about what's going on in your market, which I guess is an understatement, is certainly humming along. But before we get into the nitty gritty, Ward, why don't you tell us a little bit about your specific group at Colliers, sort of who your target customers are, what you guys are all about, basically, in the markets you serve and things like that.
Yeah, you got it. So, I'm with Colliers. Just for those that don't know, Colliers, I believe we're now the third largest commercial real estate company in the world. So we're publicly traded. And I've just finished my 10th year at Colliers. So started in January of 2012. Before that, I worked at a couple of other shops in Dallas, but really found my home here at Colliers. And since joining Colliers, I've built a team. So now there's a team of six of us that are all based in Dallas. And our team specializes in representing occupiers of industrial real estate. So we're very focused in that regard, that we represent the tenants. And whenever I tell people I do real estate, they're like, "Oh yeah, what buildings do you have? Show me what buildings you have." Well, we don't have buildings. We don't represent owners of buildings. We represent the tenants. So we help companies go find the facilities they need to support their business decisions. And we have 500 offices globally with Colliers. So we have the ability to work globally. I have worked in, everywhere, Europe and Asia. But our primary focus, I would say, is North America, although we do work throughout the Americas region. But the bulk of our work takes place in the US, Canada, Mexico. Our clients, I would say like 80% of our clients are third-party logistics companies or transportation companies. And we are fortunate to represent some of the greatest, in my opinion, the greatest companies in the logistics arena. And we focus on representing larger companies with big footprints and lots of warehouses across North America. And then on top of just finding the facilities, we also work together with our clients to develop processes just to go be able to effectively execute real estate decisions and synthesize the data they need in the way they need to see it so that they can then make informed real estate decisions. So that's what we do in a nutshell.
Okay, terrific. That's a great setup. So why don't we just sort of jump into sort of the nitty gritty here, Ward, and there's no shortage of things we can hit on today. Why don't we just sort of start at the top? How would you sort of describe the current state of the industrial / logistics real estate market? I've been saying this for a while in conversations with colleagues as it relates to the market. It really seems like we are in some sort of unprecedented times, so to speak.
Well said. Yeah, it is. The market is just absolutely explosive right now. Record levels of product under construction. Really record levels of absorption of that product, record level rental rates. These products are trading at record low cap rates. So just, for those that don't know, a cap rate is how investors buy real estate. And it's basically the return that they're getting on the property. So when I started at Colliers, to give you a feel for like cap rates in Dallas were like at 6%. And now they're for a real nice brand new building with a great credit tenant, that's going to trade at a 6% cap rate. Now they're trading sub 4% cap rate. So that's just like a huge drop. And then that results in an increase in pricing per square foot. So all of this activity combined with everything going on in the supply chain now, there's the costs are going up and inflation, you hear about it. So just like the cost to build these buildings is going through the roof. The time to build the buildings is becoming longer and longer due to lead times. There's a shortage of supplies and raw materials needed to build the buildings. So it's all while the global supply chain is, it's been, I would say, I don't know if turmoil is the right word, but it's just been being tested and pushed to its limits, I think, with COVID combined with e-commerce, combined with geopolitical issues that are going on. And so as that all happens, it has created just an incredible, never seen before demand for industrial real estate. So whenever I tell people I do industrial real estate, they're like, that must be great for you. And while it is to a certain extent great for us, I can tell you like doing my job has never been more difficult than it is today, because despite all of the product that's under construction, the demand is so high for it, and to find an actual facility that meets all the criteria that our customers are looking for, we're lucky in most cases to find one or two different buildings that actually work in a market. And sometimes it's negative two buildings, so there's nothing. And we're sitting on the sidelines trying to just wait to find a building to go occupy, because in certain markets, they're just not there. And it's a landlord's market. The landlords typically get to decide from a list of tenants who they're going to lease their building to. And I mean, rent growth in some markets is like, depending on, what type of building and where it's located, I mean, it can double from what someone's paying from their previous lease. If they're negotiating a lease renewal, their prices might double. Rents have gone up like annually in the Los Angeles area, like 60%, I believe.
Oh man!
In a 1 year, and continuing to creep up. So it's a new world we're living in, and this is all being driven. A lot of it's being driven by e-commerce. And I guess we can get into what's driving it in a little bit, but that's like the overview of the market is that it's absolutely on fire really everywhere in North America. And then just like, if you think about markets like that have geographic barriers to entry, like a Los Angeles, where you have the ocean and the mountains, there's just not that much land to be developed. So that there's no land left. So you can't build anymore. And in markets like that, you're seeing sub 1% vacancy. And, It's crazy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you had touched upon COVID a moment ago, Ward. You know, at a top level, what would you say, and you did hit on a bit of it, but in terms of the biggest impacts of COVID on market conditions, you know, what are they in your opinion?
I think the first thing that happened was there was a surge in e-commerce. And so e-commerce percentage of retail sales has always, like, as that number creeps up, the demand for industrial real estate creeps up, because when you're selling things via e-com, you need more square footage to store the products that you're selling.
Yes.
So that it will be close to your customers. So, so when there's a surge in e-commerce, like we experienced with COVID, that was like the first trigger out of the gate of what happened. And a lot of people that weren't shopping from home started shopping from home and whatnot. So that, I think that was the first driver. Then when that happened, I think the supply chain was not ready for it. So that's just caused everyone to rethink supply chain strategy. That's also, caused a lot of congestion at the ports. So the whole ocean and air market has just drastically changed. And then now there's these long lead times getting over here. So now, in addition to the e-commerce, there's this like restructuring of the supply chain and shippers wanting to, be more on the safe side with regard to their inventory. So I think you're seeing people that want more inventory than they had in the past, just to be prepared if the ocean freight is taking too long, then they don't have product to sell. So that inventory, increasing inventory, that leads to a demand for space. I think the shifts from just going to Los Angeles and moving to East Coast ports, that's causing like new increased demand at all the port markets across the country, that's surging. And then you'll go look at what's happening right now in China, and they're shutting it down again. I think we're going to see another jolt to everything when that really catches up with us in Q3, right? And I think we're going to see that happen. And then who knows how that's going to impact things. I just was with a group of logistics experts at our Colliers conference. We've had it in Charleston a couple of weeks ago. And I mean, they're talking about like the majority of manufacturers right now. I think that, I don't know what the stat is, but let's just say it's like between 50 and 100%. But probably around 70 or 80% of manufacturers are saying they want to increase their manufacturing in North America and pull it back over here. So I think we could see some reshoring of manufacturing, and then that again can also add fuel to the fire. And then on top of all of that is labor. So there's a labor shortage for the people needed to run all of these facilities. So with all that being said, I think that's all a result of COVID. And it's one thing after another after another, and who knows what comes next.
Yeah, it's definitely somewhat an open book right now. It'd be interesting to see how things transpire from here, no doubt. You can't help but notice, Ward, all the different types of record-setting numbers that have been out there, published by you guys and many of your competitors too. These are record-setting numbers for things like net absorption, square feet delivered per year, how tight vacancy is. You know, there's a lot of things which are working in the favor of companies like you guys, but it also leads to the question sort of how much room really does the market have to run? I guess it depends a lot, and you had touched upon e-commerce a moment ago on the consumer demand factor, but where are we? So if it was a baseball game, I guess, what inning are we in right now, if you know what I mean?
I like to think that we're, I don't think of it as a baseball game, but I think of it as that we're going from a dial-up modem to Wi-Fi modem as far as the supply chain is concerned.
Okay.
So I think that we're eventually going to run out of land near major cities that you can build industrial real estate. We've been building so much, cities don't want any more industrial real estate. They want mixed-use developments, and they don't want trucks everywhere. And there's industrial-zoned land in places like Flower Mound, Texas, which is by DFW Airport, that the community members of Flower Mound are getting they're getting together to try to shut down more industrial development there, even though the land's already zoned. So it's becoming harder to build. I just think that it's going to continue to tighten. And I've been saying for many years that I think, you know, in the future we might see industrial rents outperforming office rents. I actually have heard that it has happened in Hawaii. Which is a great example because they have no land in Hawaii. So that it's all a function of land scarcity and the ability to build these things, because I think they're all going to get absorbed. And then once they're absorbed, I think the pricing is just going to go up, or the supply chain is going to have to change. And that's kind of getting back to my my dial-up to Wi-Fi. And when that happens, I think there's more people entering the supply chain industry, bright, brilliant people right now, because they're recognizing what a critical problem this is becoming. And I'll be interested to see how the design of, you know, distribution footprints for big companies may change in years to come to combat the scarcity of the industrial land. How robotics might affect that in the future. And like maybe there might be some new dots on the map that become strategic that right now seem like they don't make any sense at all because of futuristic things that I have no idea what's going on, except for I can tell you that something's going to have to change, because if it continues with the same strategies that people have now, there's just not going to be any more space left. And there's, and the price is going to keep going super high. To give you a feel for real estate costs as it result, as it relates to overall supply chain costs, like transportation, I'm just throwing around like really rough numbers here, but like, let's just say transportation's 50% and real estate is more like 4%, the actual like real estate cost. So it's pretty insignificant. The labor is a lower, cost in the cost, you know, in that grid. But if you have the perfect dot on the map for your transportation costs and you don't have the labor, then it's not going to do you any good anyway. So it's actually like the labor right now is the number one driver behind these decisions, even though the transportation is the number one cost line item. Okay. So, that'll be interesting to see, and that, you know, that could be impacted in the future with robotics and automation and all of that. So, but I think we're going to see new types of facilities, being designed and, new locations on the map that might just seem like they make no sense at all today. And then they're just going to be, you know, commonplace in 10 years from now because of what's going on with industrial land shortage.
Yeah, no, I like how you put that with the new places on the map. You know, with vacancy at such low levels at the moment, Ward, what approaches do occupiers, in your opinion, need to take to secure space in the short term? Could it be along the lines of looking at things like looking outside of major markets and adopting a regional distribution model? Or maybe through pop-up facilities or some other things. What sort of kicking around there? What's sort of the thoughts around that, that as far as you can tell?
Yeah, I think that's a something that we will see, and The Gap is one of our clients. They just opened up. They're about to finish construction on a project that we were fortunate to help them with in Longview, Texas. And when we worked on that project, that was interesting to me because so many major retailers are just going to Dallas or going to the major cities. And the Gap went to Longview, and I thought that was interesting. And a big part of that was labor and going off the beaten path and not doing what everyone else was doing. And so that's just an interesting example of something like that. So maybe some of these markets, like a Longview, that are outside of a Dallas by a couple hours, start making more sense for some of these retailers to go do regional shipping, e-commerce shipping.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Excellent. And I had recently looked at the Colliers 2022 Big Box Outlook, a very comprehensive report to be sure. Some really interesting data in their ward, as you know. I'm just citing a few stats here. New development in 2021 reached record levels for bulk facilities, so basically warehouses and distribution centers, at a total of 184.8 million square feet delivered, marking a 19.4% annual gain, with 22 pegged to be even higher as product under construction bodes well at 297.7 million square feet at the end of 2021. It's really positive, but it comes with its challenges. And I know we've addressed some of them. The main challenge, obviously, being industrial land being scarce, coupled with high levels of increased competition and the what seems like the never-ending supply chain issues and concerns. So I guess my question at the end of the day is here, you have all this land, you have all this space being delivered, but you have all these obstacles too. So sort of where do things sort of level out in that respect?
Yeah. I think time will tell. So I think all of these buildings that are being built are going to get absorbed.
Yep.
That's only a matter of time. And one other thing I wanted to hit on that I didn't really answer in the last one, but I think it's also relevant to this, is that how are tenants getting spaces? Like, we are telling our tenants, like, you have to act fast. If you have a chain, you know, if you have a process to go get deals approved that takes 2 months, you need to change that to 2 weeks, because pricing is going to change. Construction costs are going up 1% per month, in one market that I'm working in right now. And I think that's a pretty good estimate. It's going to vary from market to market. But like, if you think about that, costs are going up 1% every month. So the longer you're waiting, the more the costs are going up, and waiting it out to see if there's going to be a dip, I think is not a good strategy. I think you need to be very proactive. And have your ducks in a row, have a business case built when you're ready to go out to the market, because you're going to have to act now, or whatever you're looking at is going to be gone.
And, okay.
It's crazy.
So, yeah.
I think I see it all getting absorbed and then this continuing unless something, you know, some change. I think, historically, whenever everything seems perfect is when, and everything's great, and you're also hitting these record levels of pricing and activity, I think a lot of times that's when the bottom can drop out. So I always kind of recognize in the back of my mind, like, this can all change, but what changes it? Like, it's going to have to be something at the level, in my opinion, of like, the same thing when Jeff Bezos invented Amazon Prime and people started getting, you know, being able to get things delivered to them overnight all of a sudden or same day, and like how that changed consumer buying patterns globally. Like, if that changes again, then that could help with this. And I'm sure people are trying to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be quite the ride. It already is. Just a few more quick ones here, Ward. Just shifting gears to some more type of general topics. And we had alluded to supply chain concerns, issues, challenges before. How do you view sort of the things that are going on that are really consuming for supply chain practitioners, regardless of if they're a shipper, a carrier, 3PL, in real estate, whatever it may be? I'm talking about things like port congestion, inflation, the current state of the lack of labor availability that's impacting market conditions. Can't forget about the ongoing fuel run up at the moment too. There's just a lot to keep an eye on, and I guess I'd be interested to learn about how you guys think about these things up against the backdrop of securing space for your tenant clients.
Yeah, you're just having to holistically analyze everything from cost to the labor availability to everything. So I think that's important too, and to go get in there and it's building relationships has never been more important to mm-hmm. build relationships with the owners of this real estate. And I think it's never been more important for tenants to have very strong financial statements. So I think that it can, you know, I think you've already seen this happen, but smaller companies with weak balance sheets, they're having a tough time right now. The people leasing these spaces, the companies leasing the spaces are big, powerful companies with very strong balance sheets because the developers have the choice. So I think that is that's something that's driving a lot of decisions being made. So it's building relationships and getting the developers comfortable with it. One thing I think that sparked our conversation and reconnecting the two of us after not talking in a while is just that I posted something on LinkedIn about just there's been a trend for tenants to start buying real estate.
Yes.
And that's another strategy I think that we're going to see more of, especially as these rents continue to grow. So at least you can go buy it, own it, and then you're going to have some level of predictability on what your costs are going to be moving forward. Right now, I think people are just being shocked when their leases are coming up and they're jumping and, you know, sometimes doubling in price.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And just to wrap up, Ward, we covered a bit of this, but where do you sort of see the market over the next, say, 2 to 3 years?
I feel like we just have seen the biggest surge ever. And that was a result of the surge of e-commerce more than anything else. And now, as you probably are aware, e-commerce has gone down. So
yeah,
there's less demand. It's the first time it's ever gone down. It was always a steady uphill, and then there was a huge uptick because of COVID, and now people are going back to stores. I personally like to go to stores now more than before COVID happened because we were locked out of them. There's something nice about going to Nordstrom and picking out some jeans. And by the way, I just talked to a customer, a 3PL customer that does some work with Nordstrom's. Their supply chain is so impressive. Their omni-channel is just set up so that they're shifting inventory between stores.
Yeah.
So that they've always got something there for you that fits you. They're doing this on a nightly basis, like playing a game of Tetris with their stores. They're making it really easy to go return to stores. I think you're going to see it. That's like the smart retailers are really focused on omni-channel, getting people to the stores because that's where they make their money, but then also have the infrastructure and that last mile logistics movement in place to go move inventory around from store to store and handle reverse logistics out of stores so that you get people in there buying more things than they would online. And then just enjoying the experience of going to a nice store that actually has inventory. And so there's my shout out to Nordstrom, and they're doing an incredible job right now. So
yeah,
I digress. But yeah, it's so point being, there was a surge in e-commerce. Now it's gone down. E-commerce is going to continue to grow, I would imagine. I'm not a psychic medium, but it's going to go back to a slow, steady growth. And I would like to think, I feel like the industrial real estate market after this year, I would guess, is going to get, because right now, I mean, we're in the middle of this year, there's record number under construction. So we're going to see how absorption goes. There's been a little bit of a downtick in absorption in Q1 of 2022, but that could partially be blamed on the space not being able to be delivered because of these long construction lead times. So
yeah,
I think we've got to feel that out and see how absorption is going to do this year with this record amount of construction. That's just like insane record amount that's never happened before. I would imagine that there's going to be a little bit of a slowdown next year, but it's going to be slow, steady uptick for years to come. Unless something else crazy happens that causes another surge upwards, sure, or downwards that's unpredictable. But if things kind of keep going status quo, even with, you know, me having a pretty good gut feel that this China shutdown for COVID that's going on is going to, it's going to whack us, the supply chain in a few months. And, you know, we're going to see it here with inflation, shortage of products, and, it, you know, adjusting for inventory levels, maybe reshoring and manufacturing, that type of stuff. I just don't think it's going to be the same kind of surge that we just experienced when everybody was forced to shop from home for a year. So, but I think slow, steady, I'm optimistic about industrial real estate as an asset class. And I just think it's needed. I always say this on every podcast I'm on, truck parking is needed. I mean, we need to go find places to go build safe, secure truck parking for these truckers that are out there risking their lives every day, working the toughest jobs, in my opinion, in America, that are the backbone of our entire economy. They need safe places to park. It's really tough to go build truck parking right now. Municipalities, I think that's something like we're going to need to find some municipalities that are on the outskirts of the major hubs that will support that and help with truck parking. And I think everybody needs to pitch in, from shippers to carriers, not just put it all on the trucking companies to handle this.
Right.
The government, of course, this is for the public good. These truck drivers are living in very unsafe times to be a truck driver. And of course, that maybe that's the reason why there's a shortage of truck drivers, because Why would you want to go drive a truck if you have to go, like, you know, queue up outside of a distribution center? They won't let you go inside. You can't go park at a Love's Travel Stop, because in any major city, they're all sold out of parking spaces every night. And you got to go, like, park on a street corner somewhere. And we need to, like, really focus on that, because that's just something that is often overlooked, and it hadn't been handled. We handled all of the capacity for e-commerce very easily because it's nice, pretty white buildings that stand up tall and they create lots of tax revenue. Truck parking is not so sexy. It needs to be done. So that's got to be part of all of this infrastructure growth. So I'm a big advocate of that occurring, and really just anything to benefit the lives of our hardworking truckers out there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Totally agree. All right, well, listen, Ward, that brings us to the end of our time, our allotted time for today's podcast. So on behalf of Logistics Management Magazine and the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group, I'd like to offer up a big thanks for joining us today. It's super to reconnect with you, too.
Jeff, can't wait to see you in person again soon. Thanks for the opportunity today. Really enjoyed catching up with you, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those of you in our audience, please go ahead and check out Ward's website through his group at Colliers. It's simply supplychainrealestate.com. And for those of you on LinkedIn, go look up Ward. Go enter in Ward Richmond. He's always got a lot of good posts, a lot of good things, a lot of good thought leadership pieces. So I definitely urge all of you to go check them out. And for those of you on Twitter, please go ahead and give us a follow, simply at LogisticsMGMT. And also, if you're not already subscribing to our podcast, please go ahead and do so. Simply, wherever you go get your podcast, go take a look for Supply Chain 24/7. Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you next time. Have a great day.